Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song makes you wonderful. Something you never seen before.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching through the Gospel of John, where we've been encouraged to embrace the commandment of Jesus to produce much fruit. And now as we continue our study through the Gospel of John, we find that there's a good chance that the world will hate us if we live a life of following after Christ. So let's turn to John chapter 15, verse 12 for the details as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
Chapter 15, verse 18, John's Gospel. Remember, we are right in the midst of this intimate conversation that Jesus is having with his apostles, his closest associates, those 11 men that are with him and have been with him. And of course, he's going to ultimately be sending them out into the world to spread the gospel. But he's sharing now these deep and these intimate things with them in preparation for something that they haven't totally realized, and that is his departure, that he is going to leave. They hadn't really fully grasped the messianic mission, and they didn't really understand at this point that the kingdom was not going to be established like they had anticipated that it would be. And so Jesus is, he's sort of breaking the news to them. He's letting them know that things are going to be different than they had actually thought. And so here, as we pick up in the midst of the conversation, he says to them, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." So again, he's preparing them. He's letting them know right up front that they're going to have difficulty. They're going to experience opposition, and they're actually going to be hated. Now, he said, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. You know, this is one of the most mind-boggling things of all, is to figure out just how it is that there could be hatred for Jesus Christ and such hatred for him. If you just look at the life of Jesus, you just, you know, read through the Gospels, and that, of course, is, that's the only history we've got. That's the only detailed account of his life that we know of or that exist. There's other little things here and there from different writers and historians and, you know, people back in that time. But this is, of course, the authoritative record on his life. And as you read through it, what is the picture that emerges? It's the picture of a man who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. That's pretty much the way Peter summed it up. That's the picture. Jesus just simply went about doing good. He went about blessing people. He went about healing people, raising people from the dead, feeding hungry people, ministering to poor people. All of the things that you would think that people would just love him for. People ought to love him for. But the fact of the matter is, those in his own generation hated him, And he has been hated in every generation since by many, by multitudes. And, of course, there's a great hostility to Jesus Christ to this very day. And you see so often people just expressing vehemently their animosity toward him. And, you know, the sort of the ironic thing is, if you were to really try to, you know, get at what the problem is with so many people, they probably couldn't even tell you. You know, if you heard somebody just blaspheming the Lord Jesus and you went up and you said, you know, why are you doing that? Just, you know, let's talk. What's your problem with Jesus Christ? You know, most of them probably couldn't even tell you what the problem is. But there's just this, I don't know what it is. You know, you think of how things are in our culture today. You know, it's absolutely astounding. And this is a fact. You could go into any public setting. You can go into a classroom. You can go to a party. You could go into the workplace. You know, you go to any place like that publicly, and you can talk about pretty much anything these days, religious or non-religious. You know, if you wanted to go in, let's say this week you wanted to go in and you just decided, maybe just as an experiment, you're going to go into the office and you're going to talk about Buddhism. You're going to talk about the Dalai Lama. You're going to talk about, you know, all of the virtues of Buddhism and all of that. There probably wouldn't be a single person that would have any kind of a problem with that whatsoever. Yeah, a few people might think, wow, what's going on with that person? That, you know, that's kind of weird. They're all of a sudden they're getting spiritual or something like that. But there wouldn't be any real antagonism toward that. You could talk about pretty much anything. You could actually just make up your own religion and go share with people about it. And again, they might think you're a little kooky, but there wouldn't be any real antagonism or, you know, real hostility against you. But you know, it's a fact. If you were to go in this week and you're just going to talk about Jesus, you're going to talk about his love, you're going to talk about his goodness, you're going to talk about the fact that he died on the cross for our sins and he rose from the dead, you're going to talk about the fact that he's coming back and people need to accept him in order to be saved. Well, you probably get fired. That's where it would start. But there'd be a lot of threats, you know, leading up to it. And, you know, people would just, they would get downright hostile to that. Why is that? Well, this is why. Because Jesus is the true and the living God. And we as human beings are sinners. And our sin nature rebels against God. You know, the scriptures tell us that naturally we are at enmity with God. We are at a state of war with God naturally. And the reason everybody chafes at the name of Jesus is because that's the name above every name. That's the name that matters. That's why people aren't bothered so much by Buddha or bothered so much by Krishna or bothered so much by even Muhammad. But people are bothered by Jesus because it's the sin in man that rebels against even the very name of Jesus Christ. The world, Jesus said, will hate you. But no, they hated me before they hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you were not of the world, and I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. You know, it's kind of it's just a human characteristic, really, to be suspicious of people who you might consider to be outsiders or something like that. You know, human history, even the world today, if you look around, people are divided up. And, you know, it's this group against that group and that group against this group. And we don't like those people because they are of a different nationality. And we don't like them over there because their culture is different than ours. And, you know, we don't like those people over there because their skin color is different than ours is. And this is the way the world is. And this is the way the world has always been. And so man has this tendency to sort of isolate himself or his group from everybody else and, you know, have that suspicion and that sort of thing. Now, the ultimate example of that is with the Christian and the world. Because Jesus said, you're not of this world. And that, again, that's the thing that creates the rub. That's the thing that creates the problem. It's like, you know, you just sort of get the feeling like, wait a second, you know, these people aren't, they're not with us. You know, they're not for us. They're not supporting what we're doing. And it's because we're not of this world. And this is going to be the response of many. Now, not the response of everyone, because Jesus is going to go on to acknowledge that there are going to be some that are going to receive his word, and then they'll receive our word likewise. But it is the case with many. And this is something that we all need to remember and realize and know right up front. If you're concerned about being popular, if you have this great need to be accepted, if you want everybody to like you and say nice things about you, you will not survive as a Christian. Because that will not happen if you're genuinely a believer, if you're truly following the Lord. There are going to be people that simply dislike you because of your faith, because you're not of this world. You're not part of this system that they are all part of, and they sense that you're not part of this system. And it, again, it's that same sort of thing as with the name of Jesus. There's this rub, there's this irritation that it creates. I remember hearing a long time ago about a celebrity who spent a day golfing with Billy Graham. And afterward, somebody asked him how it was. He said, oh, it was miserable. Oh, God, just hated being with that guy out there. And, oh, you know, holier than thou and all of that. And so the person said, well, what did he say to you? The guy said, oh, he didn't say anything. He didn't say a word. It's just his very presence. It was the presence of Christ in him. And here's a man in sin. And again, that it's that presence of Christ. Jesus said it earlier. We talked about it quite a while back. Jesus said, the world hates me because I testify of it that its deeds are evil. You see, that's really the issue right there. Jesus is the one that gets under everybody's skin because Jesus is the one who says what you're doing is wrong. Your deeds are evil. Your lifestyle is unacceptable. Your good deeds are worthless. Oh, that's the one that really gets people ticked. You know, some people can handle that. Yeah, I understand. You know, my life's a mess and this is bad and all that. But you tell a self-righteous person, somebody who thinks they're good enough, that I'm sorry, your righteousness is like a filthy rag before God. And man, that gets people mad. But that's what Jesus represents to people. And it's the Spirit of God, really, that's causing that kind of thing to occur. But again, here Jesus says, I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. If you were of the world would love its own. You know, you look at some of the different religious systems and things that have arisen, and you look at the numbers of people that join up for this, and you also look at the general acceptance of the world, and here's the explanation. The world accepts it because it originates in the world. It's part of the system. And so they embrace it. You know, it's, to me, it is the You know, it's a really bizarre thing that's occurring in the Western world today, where there's this pressure, this real kind of a thing to accept Islam, to embrace it, not to be critical of it, not to challenge it, not to question it. I was watching some interview the other night, and you know, I was just astounded at one of the guys who was doing the interview, how he just did not want to hear the truth about Islam. You know, you're reading stuff into it. Now, the guy who was commenting on Islam, what he was saying about it was absolutely accurate. And he wasn't being disrespectful. He wasn't belittling people. He was just stating certain facts. He was talking about a certain imam that led some of our politicians in prayer. And he was talking about, in his prayer, he was referring to the prophet Moses and Jesus and, you know, right down the line. And this other guy thought that that was so wonderful. It was a very ecumenical prayer. And the expert on Islam was simply pointing out to him, no, you don't understand. This guy doesn't think of Moses and Jesus and all like we do. He sees them as Muslims. And of course, Muhammad is at the top. And as he said it to this guy, he just, no, you know, don't want to hear that. And you think, wow, what is going on? What kind of craziness is this? You know, trying to impose and enforce this and say this has to be accepted and this is just as valid or legit as any other religion, and why can't we have Jesus and Muhammad? Now, I don't want to go on a tirade against Islam. As I've said before, I think our approach to Islam and to Muslim people needs to be a loving one, and we need to reach out to them with the gospel of the love of God. But we do have to be honest when we look at the situation, and we do have to understand what the system is all about and what the agenda of that system is and what the intentions are of those who are promoting, seeking to expand that. We have to do it as believers, because the fact is simply this: if Islam is true, Christianity is not true. You see, that's the reality. And if Christianity is true, Islam is not true. It's one or the other. It's not possible that both are true. A couple years ago, an ambassador from the Sudan came and visited us here on a Sunday morning, actually. And I met with him after the service, and he was very gracious, and he was here on behalf of his country, and he wanted to let us all know that Islam is a religion of peace and so on. And you know, I was there talking with him, and he said to me, he said, now, you know, we both really believe the same thing. And I said, excuse me, sir, you're very nice, and I'm, you know, it's a pleasure to meet you today, but I just have to shoot real straight with you. We do not believe the same thing. As a matter of fact, our belief systems are mutually exclusive. They cancel out one another. So one of us is right and one of us is wrong. I said, now, we don't need to kill each other over that, but these are the facts. This is the reality. And it is. This is the reality. If Christianity is true, then Islam is false. If Islam is true, then Christianity is false. So it's one or the other. It's not both. We can't mix it all up like so many would insist that we do. But again, the point is just this, how the world embraces these things. And you look at it and think, how can anybody embrace this? Well, it's because it originates in the world. It's part of the system. And man, blinded by sin and under the deception of the devil, he just buys anything that comes along for the most part. Remember the word that I said, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. Now, of course, here the context, going back to the original statements, the context is, it's not an Islamic context. It's not any other of these systems. It's a Jewish context, you know. And the astounding thing is that Jesus is the Messiah of Israel. He's come to actually save the Jewish people, but they are the ones who hated him. And that, again, is another one of those great mysteries of iniquity. But he says, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. So the very fact that Jesus came and all that he said and all that he did, it actually added to their culpability. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. That is so heavy, because remember, Jesus is talking about the men who are the religious leaders of the nation. He's talking about the men who everybody looks up to, thinking they're our leaders. They're our teachers. They're the ones that we're supposed to follow. They're the disciples of Moses. They're the ones that know God. And Jesus said, those are the ones that actually hate me. And not only do they hate me, but they hate my Father. The very religious leaders were actually God-haters. That's a frightening prospect, isn't it? To have those that are supposed to be leading, the reality is they're leading the opposition against God. But that was the case. They were filled with hatred for the very God they claimed to be serving and following. And their hatred was evidenced in their hatred for the Son and their rejection of the Son. And again, we see this very thing today. There are those who are in positions of spiritual leadership and authority, and masses of people are looking to them for leadership and thinking, these are our leaders, and these people love God, and we need to listen to what they say, and they're following God, so we're going to follow them. You better stop and check and make sure they are following God. Make sure they do love God, because this is how people are led astray, by not looking at the situation themselves. You know, so many people have been and are still today, they are very content to have somebody else do their religion for them. You know, when I was growing up and grew up in Roman Catholicism, we were all happy to let the priest do the religious thing for us. That was their job. They took care of all that. We just get the benefit in the end. We're going to make it to heaven, because they're working hard over at the church to make sure that that happens for us. And, you know, we were really trusting our souls with somebody else. But that was the mistake, because the Bible teaches that every person individually is accountable to God. And that every person needs to go personally and individually and directly to God through the one mediator, Jesus Christ. And I've got to make sure that I'm right with God myself. I can't expect somebody else to do it for me. I can't depend on somebody else to do it for me. The fact of the matter is, nobody can do it for me. It's a personal transaction between myself and God through the one mediator, his Son, Jesus. Jesus went on to say, but this happened, this hatred of me, it happened that the word might be fulfilled, which was written in their own law, they hated me without a cause. This was a fulfillment of prophecy. And this is a quotation from Psalm 69. They hated me without a cause. And that's, again, the story today. The hatred for Jesus Christ today, it's without a cause. There's no justifiable cause. There's no valid reason for the hostility that anyone expresses or feels toward Jesus Christ. It's rooted in the sin issue, like I said earlier.
We'll continue with more of our study through the Gospel of John in our next lesson as we discover who the Helper is that's referred to as the Spirit of Truth that comes from the Father. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us, but right now I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled, Be of Good Cheer. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number BT3258. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts and vodcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
So turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.